Amen. Well, I'm glad to be here this morning. Thank you for being here. And I've enjoyed all this music that's gone on already this morning. It's been a blessing. I'd like you to turn to Mark chapter 6, if you would, please. And I also want to thank you for the nice place I have to stay. Enjoying the prophet's chamber over there and the goodies that were put in there for me when I got here. And I love your pastor and thank the Lord for him. Known him for a good while. And he's my friend and has always been a blessing to me, and I'm thankful that the Lord let our paths cross some years ago. Mark chapter number 6. And we're going to start reading in verse number 14, Mark chapter 6. I do need to get my schedule straightened out so that I make sure that I get here the day you're having the picnic next door. Somehow I got that mixed up, and now I'm missing the hamburgers. So we're going to have to straighten that out later on. But anyway, Mark chapter 6, I want to start reading in verse number 14. The Bible says this, "And King Herod heard of him," that him is Jesus. "King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, 'It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead.' For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, 'It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife.' Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced, and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, 'Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee.' And he sware unto her, 'Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom.' And she went forth and said unto her mother, 'What shall I ask?' And she said, 'The head of John the Baptist.' She came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, 'I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist.' And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head into a charger, gave it to the damsel. The damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb." I want us to consider this passage of Scripture for a moment this morning. And I'm going to preach on this subject. What day is it in your life? I notice this little phrase in verse 21, "a convenient day." And I began to think about the days of the life of Herod. Now, I'm getting old, and so I'm just going to warn you before I start. Probably in this sermon, I will get my Herod and my John mixed up. So if I do, you just sort it out, okay? But we have Herod, and Mark is telling us this account of Herod beheading John. And what Mark will do in this passage is he will not start at the beginning. He's not giving us the story in chronological order. He is starting at the end and then going back through and telling us how we got to the end, how we got to where we are in verses 14 and 15. Now, I was preaching down in Georgia a few weeks ago. When I got done preaching one morning, the preacher and I were having lunch after, I think, the morning service, and we were talking a little bit, and he said this to me. He said, "My wife read me a Facebook post that she recently read. And she said, she told her husband, she said, 'I didn't want to read it to you, but I felt like I ought to.' And I don't know who wrote it. I don't know who the person was. It was a lady from, I don't know if she was from the church. I don't know who she was. And he didn't tell me, and I didn't want to know. But he said, my wife read me this post, and here's what it said. It said, I no longer feel guilty about taking my son to a ball game on Sunday because God is everywhere and I can worship him anywhere. Now, I want you to think about what I would consider to be some of the most dangerous, one of the most dangerous statements that we could ever make. And here it is. I no longer feel guilty. Let me ask you a question. If you do something and you know it's wrong and you feel guilty about it, but you do it enough times until you no longer feel guilty about it, what changed? Did the truth change or did you change? It is a dangerous thing to continue in sin until you no longer feel guilty about that sin. That's what's happened in Herod's life. But I want you to see that he still cannot get away from the guilt that is in him. Now, I want you to notice several things. We're thinking about this convenient day. I want to ask you what day it is in your life. First of all, in Herod's life, in this portion of Scripture, there is first of all a day when Herod was concerned. He was concerned about his spiritual condition. He was concerned about his relationship to God. How do you know? Well, watch what the Bible says in verse 20. Would you look at this verse? For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a pretty good description of how a person ought to be, where we ought to be in our Christian life. There was a day when Herod was concerned about how he lived, and concerned about what the man of God said, and concerned about what God thought of him. I hope that's where you are this morning. I hope in your life there is a concern in your heart about your relationship to God. What does God think of me? How am I living for God? Am I pleasing the Lord? I know that Jesus saves our soul. I know we've been given the righteousness of Christ. Paul said this, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I know we have imputed righteousness, but that does not mean, that imputed righteousness does not mean we just live any way we want to live. Here's what Paul said in the book of Romans. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So we ought to live a holy life. We ought to live a consecrated life. Let me put it this way. We ought to live a surrendered life unto the God that saved us. And there ought to be a concern in our heart that we're pleasing God. I remember going to a funeral of a young lady that I knew very well. Her father was a deacon in our church, and she had cancer, and the Lord took her home. And I remember a fella at the funeral. They had several people that spoke. One of the men that spoke, he told about, her name was Jenna. He told about Jenna and her life, and he told about a conversation that he had had with her. And in that conversation, she told him that when she did her evening devotion, she had morning devotions and evening devotions. She said, in my evening devotions, I always say to the Lord, Lord, I hope I've pleased you today. I hope today my life has been pleasing to you. Well, apparently there was a day when that's what Herod was concerned about. Look at it again. What does it say? It said he feared John. What does the word feared mean? In this passage, it means to be alarmed. And the idea is Herod came and he heard John preach. And when he heard the preaching of the man of God, it alarmed him. He thought to himself, I'm not right. I need to change some things. He not only heard John, he knew John. That's what the verse said. He knew he was a just man and an holy. Herod knew that John was not some fly-by-night shyster. He was not in it for the money. He was not after filthy lucre. He was not after praise. Herod recognized that John was a man of God. Then it also says this, he observed him. Did you see it there? And observed him. What does the word observed mean? It means to keep something close. It means that when Herod came, so the picture here is that Herod must have gone out and heard John preach when the people were preaching. And when he heard him, he was alarmed. He knew John was telling the truth. And when he left, he didn't leave what John said back where John was. He took it with him and observed. Then watch what it said. And did many things. Apparently, there were some things in Herod's life that he changed because of the preaching of John the Baptist. But then I like this last part. And heard him gladly. Nobody twisted his arm to hear John. Nobody said, you've got to go hear the preacher. He heard him gladly. He was glad to hear what John had to say, even though it alarmed him in his soul. I hope that's where you are this morning. I hope you come to the house of God and you come gladly to hear the man of God. And when the man of God preaches and God touches your heart, you say, you know what? I need to change this. I need to get this right. I was preaching over in Maryland, and in the middle of the sermon, a dear friend of mine, his family, he's an evangelist. His family sings gospel music and they travel all around the country in a bus. I think he has 11 children. They travel around the country in a bus, and he was sitting there and I was preaching, and I've known him for years. I've known him since a little boy, and in the middle of the preaching, he got up and walked out. And I'm up there preaching, and he gets up and walked out. And I thought to myself, while I'm preaching, I'm trying to figure out. I'm getting confused about my preaching because I'm thinking, what did I say? He'd been offended, and he's my dear friend, and he walked out on me. So after the service, he come up and he said, brother, he said, I'm sorry I walked out. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, you was preaching about being right with people. And he said, there's somebody I wasn't right with. And you preach, you ought to take care of it as soon as you can. And I thought I ought to take care of it right now. So I got up and went out and called him. Now, I wonder how quickly you are to repent, to get right. We ought to be zealous to repent. And apparently there was a day in Herod's life that he was zealous to repent. You know what the old time preachers used to call it? Keeping short accounts with God. Don't let it go on. Don't let it lay there. Don't leave it. So here is Herod. There was a day when he was concerned. But then secondly, there was a day when he was confronted. Now watch what the Bible said. Verse 17, for Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Now remember, we're not going in chronological order because that's not what the way Mark is given to us. So apparently one of those days when Herod was out listening to John, John pointed his bony finger at Herod and said, you're living in adultery. I don't know all the story. We don't know the backstory. But somehow Herod stole his brother's wife. And so now John the Baptist points his finger at Herod and said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. You know what's happened now? John is not preaching generally. He's preaching particularly and specifically. It's no longer John just preaching to the crowd. Now it's John preaching to Herod. And it appears to me that Herod would change things and observe things and hear things gladly as long as John didn't get too close to where Herod was. And finally, when Herod heard something and John preached something that was going on in Herod's life, and surely there were other things he mentioned, but this was that one thing, that one area that Herod would rather be, he'd rather have John leave this alone. Don't, you're getting too close now, preacher. You're getting too close to home now. So there was one thing, and when John hit that one thing and confronted Herod about it, Herod was no longer glad to hear the preaching. He was no longer impressed with John. He was no longer going to come back. He didn't want to hear anymore. He laid hold on John. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to shut this preacher up. Now, most, at least so far in America, they're not putting preachers in jail too much. I hear in Chicago they've arrested some street preachers here lately. But at least in America, there's some freedom. But you know, I'll tell you what we do. We don't put the preacher in prison. We just ignore him. We just leave him. Have you ever heard somebody say this? I won't go back there. I don't want to hear that again. I've heard enough of that. What's the problem? The preaching got too close to home. In all of our lives, the Hebrew writer put it, the sin that doth so easily beset us. Some preachers believe that's the sin of unbelief. It may be. But I have noticed in this 46 years of preaching that when you get close to home, and a lot of time what happens is people will hear you preach about things and about this and everything be fine until it's their thing. And it is that one thing that keeps them from being right with God. It might be some greedy thing. It might be some lustful thing. It might be some bitter thing. But it's that one thing that I'm not going to let go of that. I'll do a lot of things, preacher. I'll do a lot of things. But leave that alone. That's my sore spot. That's the thing I don't want you to mess with. I want you to leave it alone. And John has found the place in Herod's life that he's confronted him. And Herod says, no. I will not do that. Has there been a place like that in your life? I don't want to deal with that, preacher. I leave that alone now. That's not your business. I don't want to deal with that. Is there a place like that in your life? I remember a lady who came to a service in South Georgia, and I did not know her. I'd never seen her before. I preached at that church for 40 years, I guess. She came to the altar, and then another lady, and I knew that lady, came and knelt down beside her, and they were at the altar. I'd been preaching on bitterness. And she came down, a relatively young woman came down on a cane. When they were done, they went back to the back. We finished the service, and the mother came to me. I knew the mother. I didn't know that was her daughter at the time. But she said, would you come back and speak to my daughter? I said, certainly I will. So we went back in the back, and the lady was sitting there. And she looked at me and she said, preacher, she said, several years ago, she didn't say several, I think she said many, but it had been quite a while ago. She said, some men kidnapped me. They put me in a van and they carried me around in that van. And here's the way she put it. She said, they did things to me. And she said, the reason I walk on this cane crippled is because of what they did to me. And she said this to me. She said, I have hated them. I have hated them so much that I did not want them to go to heaven. I wanted them to go to hell, she said. She said, I thought if they died somehow and went to heaven, heaven would be a dirty place. But she said, today at the altar, I forgave them. And then she said this. For the first time in 20 years, I have peace. She said, I'm going to go home tonight, preacher, and I'm going to be able to sleep. I haven't slept a whole night through in some 20 years. I'll be able to sleep tonight. She came back the next night. I said, how'd you sleep? She said, I didn't sleep a wink. I said, what happened? She said, I was too excited. Now, here's what happened. What they did to her was wrong. Awful, terrible, ungodly, wicked, wrong. There wasn't one right thing about it. It was all wrong. But her holding that bitterness in her heart all those years and being unwilling to deal with it had taken away her joy. It was that one thing. It was that one thing. And you know what? When she dealt with that one thing, she got her joy back. She got her peace back. I don't know what it is in your life, but I'm wondering this morning if there's something, that one thing, and the Holy Ghost keeps speaking to you about it, but you're not willing to do anything. Herod was confronted. Then there was a day when Herod was comfortable. Did you notice that little phrase, a convenient day? That interests me because apparently now Herod has shut the preacher up. He doesn't have to hear him anymore. He's in the prison cell. So now Herod is comfortable enough that he can have a party. He's going to have a birthday party. He's inviting everyone to come. Everybody comes in. He's enjoying himself. He has made himself comfortable by shutting off the preacher. No more conviction now. No more trouble now. I won't have to deal with this sin now. I can go on in my sin. He has made himself comfortable. That's what we do when we say no to the will of God and say no to the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. We're trying to make ourselves comfortable. So now John or Herod is comfortable. And he's having a party and he gets everybody in. And the daughter of Herodias comes and she dances for him. I don't know what kind of dance you think it was. I would just ask you this. What kind of dance would make a man say, I'll give you half of everything I've got? So now Herod has shut the preacher up. He's made himself comfortable. The woman comes in, she dances. And in front of all those people, he says to her, I'll give you whatever you want. You ask whatever you want. I'll give you the half of my kingdom. Now, he's a king. You could have got a lot of things from him. But she only wants one thing because of her mother. She said, what should I ask? She said, the head of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist now is in a new day. You know what day it is? In this day, Herod is cornered. What do you mean cornered? Here's what the Bible says. She comes in. She says, I want the head of John the Baptist. And the Bible said when Herod heard that, he was exceeding sorry. Not just sorry. He was exceeding sorry. Yet, for the oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. You know where he is? Herod is in a corner. He can't make the decision he ought to make. The decision he ought to make is, I'm going to let John go. I'm going to let him preach. I'm going to get right. But he can't do that. Why? He's backed himself into a corner. Do you understand? God gives us liberty. We can make choices. But when we make the wrong choices, we lose our liberty. We lose our choice. I'll give you kind of a simple illustration of that. I was preaching over North Carolina, and I went in there. They had a fellowship hall, and I went in to wash my hands. So I was in the men's bathroom. I'm washing my hands. When I turn around, there's a water heater there. It's right sitting right out in the open next to the wall. And when I turned around, I noticed it. There's a sticker on it. It said, caution. Do not connect electric current until tank is filled with water. When I read that, this went through my mind. I thought to myself, now if I bought a hot water heater, I paid my own money for it, I put it in my own house, it's mine, I ought to be able to do whatever I want to with it, right? If I want to hook the electric up before there's water in it, I ought to be able to. It's mine. I ought to have liberty to do that, right? It's mine. I paid for it. And I can. I can hook up the electric current with the tank empty. I can do that. It's mine. But if I do that, if I make that choice, I won't have a choice as to whether I get hot water or cold water, will I? So what happens was I made the wrong choice here and I lost my next choice. Here's what Herod has done. He's made the wrong choice. And now he's lost his next choice. He's cornered. There never would have been what's going on here. There never would have been this sensual dance if he'd have made the right choice. If he'd have said, you know what? The preacher said, I'm living in sin. I'm going to get my heart right. If he'd made that choice, he never would have seen this dance because Herodias wouldn't have been in his house and her daughter wouldn't have been in his house. There never would have been the sensual dance. There never would have been the sorrow. He never would have swore and made the oath. There never would have been any of that if he'd made the right choice. But what's happened is now, this is a day when he's worked himself into a corner. And he can't get out. So what does he do? He goes and sends his executioner and he gets the head of John the Baptist and he brings it. Now here's the last day I want you to see. This is where Mark starts the story, but it's not the beginning of the story, it's the end of the story. John is dead. Herod's still living the way he had lived. And Herod hears about Jesus. And Jesus is doing miracles. And when Herod hears it, he is now in the day of condemnation. He is condemned by his own conscience. When he hears about Jesus, the first thing he thinks is, it's John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Look at me. You know what he did? He could put an end to the preacher, the messenger, but he couldn't put an end to the message. And so now his conscience is bothering him. He said, it's got to be John risen from the dead. And the Bible said, Mark tells us, there were others talking to him. They said, no, it's not John, it's Elias or one of the other prophets. And he repeats himself in verse 16. But when Herod heard, he said, no, it's John the Baptist. Herod is going to live the rest of his life saying, this is the result of my sin. Here's what happens in our lives when we say no to God. And we hang on to that thing and we won't get right about it. And it gets us in a corner. And we do things that we never dreamed we would do and never thought we would do. And we end up involved in things we never in our wildest imagination thought we'd get involved in. And maybe we could even find some hope in there and maybe get right about it later on. Maybe, I don't know. But what it leaves behind is this thought in our mind. What's happening here is because of what happened back there. I don't know how many parents I have counseled with who look at what's going on in their children's life and they say to me, preacher, if I'd have gotten right when God dealt with my heart about that, maybe I wouldn't be dealing with this now. I want to know what day it is in your life. I hope it's the day when you're concerned. And you will hear gladly what the preacher says. And then I hope when that day of confrontation comes, when the preacher preaches on your sin and the Holy Ghost comes and sits down in your pew and said, he's talking about you. I hope what you and I both, what both of us will do is say, Lord, you're right. You're right. I should get rid of this. I should get right about this. I should tell the truth about this. I should confess this. I should repent of this. Lord, you're right. I should get right about this. Because if we do that, then we don't go the rest of the way like Herod did. If in the day of confrontation we'll get our hearts right and tell the truth, then we won't come to that comfortable and that cornered and that condemnation. We could leave off the rest of that. But we'll have to get honest with God. Get right with God. I wonder if the Holy Ghost has been dealing with you about something this morning. Something that's covered that needs to be uncovered. Because the Bible said, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. I think we'd rather have mercy, wouldn't we? I wonder if there's something you need to deal with today. I wonder if it's in the matter of salvation. You've been playing a game, but it's not real. I wonder if it's some matter of lust, some immoral thing, or greed, or some forgiveness. I tell you the difference. I was in two different churches in Ohio, and a man walked up to me. I'd preached on bitterness, and he said, with a very blank face, he said to me, preacher, you might want to pray for me. And then he told me something that had happened to him. But his mannerism and his facial expression, it was just so odd. And I mentioned it to the pastor afterward at dinner, and he said, he is a walking dead man. He will not forgive. Then I was in another church and a man walked up to me with a smile on his face. I'd preached on bitterness. He said, preacher, my business partner cheated me and stole $60,000 from me. I said, really? He said, yes, but it's all right. He said, I don't need it. I have Jesus. And he had a smile on his face. The difference was how they dealt with the sin. How will you deal with yours? What day is it in your life?